For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. There will be new road construction east of Tulsa on I-44 that will affect your commute. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills talked to Kenna Mitchell of ODOT about the construction and how long it will take.
We're talking about a project on I-44. Can you kind of describe what's going on?
Yeah, well, this is one of the top questions that we get, actually. This project is going to address I-44 on the east side of Tulsa. So it's kind of in between Tulsa and Rogers counties, but it's at 165th East Avenue. So this is the area that has not been widened in the corridor yet. We've done the widening to the east of there and to the west of there. And this is that one last segment that still is just in that two-lane configuration. So the project is about a $20 million project. It's going to widen all the lanes to an eight-lane facility. So that's going to be four lanes on each side. And then it's also going to reconfigure the interchange at 165th East Avenue.
Okay. And how far or how much road are we talking about? Is it, you know, a few hundred yards, a couple miles? How big is the project or how long in terms of distance?
We've already done the widening between 145th East Avenue and at 177th East Avenue. So this segment is in between those two interchanges on I-44.
So roughly 2 miles.
Just about that, but there is already a little bit of widening that's in place there, because you might remember back to 2010, the bridges that were at 165th East Avenue were in extremely rough shape, to the point where we were having to put some netting and some fencing under the bridges because of things falling from the bridge. So we replaced those bridges ahead of this widening project just because they critically needed to be replaced. So the bridge area itself already has the widening components in place. So the lanes that will be widening will be on the east and west side of the bridge,
which will give you a nice little head start. And, oh, by the way, help keep traffic flowing, because if you don't have to close down bridges, you don't have to completely shut down the road, at least not generally speaking. True?
That's true. And what we're trying to do here, too, is make this as painless as possible for drivers. So we are going to keep the two lanes open during those peak travel hours. So when you're going into Tulsa or out of Tulsa, you'll still have two lanes there. You'll just have some reduced speeds. It will be during the overnight hours that we'll target for doing any lane closures in this corridor.
Do you think at any point, even overnight, they'll have to completely shut it down, or they'll try to keep at least one lane going?
At this point, it would just be some various lane closures and not a complete closure. So drivers can certainly check our traffic advisories and see what might be planned during the overnight hours as far as any closures.
Okay, you mentioned a $20 million project, and it starts on Monday, is that right?
It starts on Monday, and crews will be getting the work zone set up during that first week. And you might start seeing some traffic shifts in the corridors. They move things around, and you'll start seeing some of those reduced speeds go into place. The big thing, of course, is, you know, this is another major work zone in Tulsa, and we really want to remind drivers to be alert to the crews and equipment working in the corridor. They're going to be out there for most of the day into the overnight hours as well. So we want to make sure that you're slowing down, you're merging where you're supposed to, you're shifting the lanes as you're directed to, and just really give our crews some room and some safety to do their job.
So I want to reemphasize that even though it, you know, it's a big project and everything, there's two lanes there now in each direction. There will still be two lanes in each direction during the day, hopefully during the entire course of the project, if there's lane closures there overnight.
Yes, that's certainly the goal. But, you know, sometimes it just takes that one distracted driver in a work zone to cause a crash or delays for the thousands of other drivers trying to go through. So that's why it's really important just to set aside your distractions and give your full attention to this work zone as you go through it.
Not to mention the fact that way too many people that work on these projects get hurt or even killed because drivers don't slow down or don't pay attention.
Exactly. You know, these people work very hard. They work in all kinds of weather conditions. And, you know, at the end of the day, they want to go home to their families too. So just try to be as safe as you can. We're being as safe as we can. And the goal will just be for everyone to get through this corridor safely. And when we're done, we'll be able to open up all the lanes in this corridor, and it'll be a much better drive for everyone.
Oh, heck yeah. And I guess one of the hard parts about this one, though, is there isn't really a good east-west way around all this, is there?
There's not, because this is just to the east of that I-244 junction. So that's why it's really imperative that, again, anytime you do have a crash in this corridor, it really clogs things up, and it can take sometimes several hours for things to clear. So just be alert. There will be some slower speed limits through here. You might see some traffic delays in there just because of the reduced speeds. But just take your time getting through and just give your full attention, and everyone will get through this work zone safely.
Kenna, do you know what they'll be setting the zone at? Is it going to be like 45, 50, somewhere in that range?
I'm not sure at this time, Russell, but the speed zones, the reduced speed limits will be taking effect probably that first week or second week. It's currently signed for 65 miles an hour out there, so we'd expect to see it go down to at least 55 or possibly lower.
And roughly how long do we expect this project to take?
This is about a year-long project, but certainly we would be encouraging the contractor to try to complete work as quickly as possible, because, again, we've heard from a lot of drivers they are very anxious to get all the lanes open up in this corridor. It's been about almost a decade coming since we first started the widening work in this corridor, so we're really glad to be at this last stage of it and be able to get all lanes open.
So it was interesting. I kind of let it go earlier. You mentioned that this is the one you get more questions about than maybe any stretch of highway in the area. Is that, am I characterizing that properly?
Yeah, it certainly is one of the top ones just because of the amount of commuter traffic and, you know, visitor traffic coming into Tulsa. You know, you see some of the widened lanes that are already in place at 193rd East Avenue or at 177th or at 145th. And then you've got this one segment here that still chokes down to that narrow two lane on each side. So it does raise a lot of questions, people wondering if we had perhaps just forgot to do this section, but certainly it's something we've been working towards for a long time. But in a corridor this size, and given the amount of work that it's taken to redo these interchanges, it does take time to get through it all.
I guess that does beg the question, why do the part to the east and then the part to the west and then do the part in the middle last? I'm sure there are reasons why it was done that way.
Well, it comes down to the worst first approach, because you might remember, too, at 193rd East Avenue, those bridges were also in extremely bad shape when we got to that first project. So we had to start there, and, you know, as we planned to go through the corridor, the 161st Bridge, which is also 165th, certainly deteriorated quicker than our plans did for it. So we had to break out that separate project, which caused us to have that approach where it's kind of some work done in the middle and not sequentially through the corridor.
Okay. So I'm just going to recap, make sure I've got everything straight. About a $20 million project. They'll start putting up possibly putting up some lane changes and basically preparing for the work early next week. Should take about a year. And when it's done, wow, it's going to be nice. Does that sum it up pretty well?
That sums it up extremely well, yes.
Kenna Mitchell, Public Information Officer for the Oklahoma Department of Transportation. Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell has big plans for tourism in Oklahoma. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills talked to Pinnell about his goals for tourism for Oklahoma and how it could affect the Tulsa area.
I saw a little snippet of news that you guys are planning a travel and tourism summit. Can you kind of tell us what that is? What's that about?
Yeah, so, you know, we know that we have got to do a better job of getting around the state and sharing best practices and empowering counties to create more sales tax revenue via tourism in their communities. So we are launching 4 regional tourism summits this fall. So we have 4 regional tourism summits around the state. Each half-day program provides tourism education featuring speakers, covering a range of topics on best practices to promote tourism in that region and around the state.
So you said it's this fall. There are 4 of them. So that kind of, I guess, covers the 4 corners of the state. Specifically, what do you have planned for the Tulsa area?
Yeah, so the regional tourism summit that is closest to Tulsa would be in Claremore, and that's Tuesday, October 15th. Is the regional summit that we have in Claremore. And so anywhere in the state that you are located, you don't have to live in Claremore to obviously attend that summit. So anyone, this is open to anybody across the state, but Tuesday, October 15th is our tourism summit in Claremore. That's the closest location to Tulsa. We also have regional summits October 3rd in Duncan, September 26th in Woodward, and September 17th in McAllister.
All right. So who should come to these? Business owners, just, you know, people, government officials? Who is this designed to speak to?
Yeah. So this is designed for, you know, small business owners that are looking to have a better presence on their websites, looking to get more foot traffic into their brick and mortar stores along main streets, or increasing their e-commerce side of their business. So this is really for, again, those small business owners, those that do tourism, or those that are selling any sort of product for that matter. You're going to get some very good best practices as far as increasing sales in your business.
Okay, and you mentioned, of course, you're going to be at these, I would imagine.
I will.
Talk a little bit more about who's going to be speaking and what their topics will be.
Yeah, so one of the speakers, for example, is Andrea Leach, who is the current chief marketing officer at the Oklahoma Aquarium. She also spent 7 years with National Geographic in Washington, D.C. before moving back to Oklahoma. So she's going to do a presentation on how to make easy changes to your website and inspire more visitors to come to your community. 10 tips will help elevate your destination and messaging online to travelers. So there's a good example of one of our speakers who has just some really impressive knowledge of the industry with the positions that she's been in, both around the country and in Oklahoma.
I think some people might be surprised what a critical role tourism plays in the Oklahoma economy. Can you address that for a moment?
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize tourism is the 3rd largest industry in our state. We generate over $650 million in state and local tax revenue off tourism. And Oklahoma is such a sales tax dependent state. Every mayor around the state is looking for ways to increase sales tax revenue. And tourism is one of the easiest ways to do that. No state can match our heritage and our history as a state. I firmly believe that we're more unique from a tourism perspective than any other state, and we need to take advantage of it. And that's certainly something that I'm working on every day.
Why is this a unique state for tourism?
Listen, from a Native American perspective, from our pioneering spirit, from Route 66, more drivable miles of that road than any other state, this really could be America's tourism state. I firmly believe that this is, again, this is America's Native American history, this is America's pioneering state. This, again, is America's travel state when it comes to Route 66. We now have the world's best park. Our music history can really go on and on about the assets that we have across 77 counties when it comes to tourism. And what we're trying to do, again, one thing that we're trying to do through these summits is helping those communities do tourism even better.
So are we trying to attract Americans as visitors, folks from overseas, both? What are we focusing on?
Yeah, we are trying to attract tourists on both levels here, both domestically and internationally. You know, the international market is very exciting. Yes, Route 66 is a big part of that, but also our Native American history. You know, international tourism is growing. You have growing markets in China, Japan, where we actually have a advertising campaign in Australia right now targeting Route 66 enthusiasts. So the international travel market is really growing, and Oklahoma needs to be taking advantage of it.
Besides scheduling these summits and helping to educate business owners about how they can increase their tourism dollars coming in, what else is the state doing? You mentioned, you know, we have advertising campaigns going in other countries. What else is the state doing to try to pump up this industry?
Yeah, you know, we're making sure that we're doing a good job of communicating with communities, the countries that we have. You know, we have different countries in Oklahoma that we've broken up our tourism district. So we have red carpet country in western Oklahoma, in Tulsa area. Obviously, it's the green country tourism department. So we are making sure that we're doing a better job of working with those countries so they know what we're doing from an advertising perspective, and they can work off of what we are doing. So we can kind of be working together on that. So communication's big. We're also making sure that we have better marketing campaigns moving forward. Looking again, doing the research, figuring out what states would be great growth markets for Oklahoma, and certainly doing a better job of advertising just in our own state. There's a lot of people in Oklahoma that don't know what's 10 or 15 minutes outside their front door. And that's because we haven't really dedicated marketing dollars in recent decades in the state of Oklahoma. Most of our money that we are spending is in Texas and in surrounding states. We need to make sure that we're telling Oklahomans why they don't need to be going to Arkansas to spend tourism dollars. We want to keep those tourism dollars in Oklahoma. There's plenty of things to do right here in Oklahoma where they don't have to go to Colorado or New Mexico to spend those tourism dollars.
So Route 66 is obviously a big piece of this puzzle. And are we focusing additional efforts on, I don't know, updating and upgrading attractions along Route 66, marketing to folks about what you were talking about earlier, which is we have the most Route 66 miles of any state in the country?
Absolutely are. So the first Tuesday in December at the Oklahoma Historical Society, we have the first ever Route 66 stakeholder convention in Oklahoma. This is something that I'm organizing through my lieutenant governor office. We'll have every community along those 400 drivable miles represented at this stakeholder convention to put a master plan together. What do communities currently have? What things do we need to build? We're going to put a budget. We're going to attach a budget to that so that I can talk to our legislators about helping fund that. We are going to have a master plan for 2020 and beyond in Oklahoma the goal is to make Oklahoma the premier state for Route 66. That is a goal of mine, and I will accomplish that in my time as lieutenant governor.
Okay, so if folks would like to get more information about this, I'm sure there's a website that they can visit.
They can. You can go to www.otia.info. That is the Oklahoma Travel Industry Association. That's where registration is happening. Again, this is open to anybody who would like to learn more about tourism in Oklahoma or any small business owners looking to increase tourism. otia.info to register.
Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interviews. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.